What
a great you know, it's one of my favorite nights in a long time of sports in Los Angeles, because I don't know if you could tell this or not, John, but the Dodger game was ending at exactly the same time as the Lakers game. So if you saw Talen Horton Tucker make that three and then watch the Lakers clinch that game last night against the Knicks, you immediately switched over to Sportsnet and you saw Kenley Jansen get the third and final out in that win over the Mariners. It was back and forth all night long.
Do you write thank you notes to people? Do you still do that, or do you just like send them a thank you text or say them to their face? Do you ever write thank you notes?
I have not written a thank you note in quite a while.
All right. I still write them. I think
do you?
Kinda,
that's nice. That's a nice thing for people, yeah.
And I would, if you're a Laker fan, we all need to send, we need to send two thank you notes as LA sports fans today. One goes to a guy who's getting very little credit today, but saved us from ruin last night.
Okay.
And that is Wesley Matthews. Did you see the play he made at the end of regulation?
The one
with
where
three
he was
left?
Falling and had the putback?
Yeah, Jorge, we probably have that somewhere, but Matthews,
he literally fell on his ass, but before he did, he was able to put back an offensive rebound for a
score. So here's what happened. They were down two. That play that Morales just played was in overtime. But at the end of regulation, they were down two. They went for three and the win. KCP took a jumper from the left corner.
Yep.
He missed the jumper, and my first reaction was, well, they went for it at least.
Yeah.
But they're going to lose. And out of nowhere comes Wes Matthews to save the day. I thought KCP had a great look. Here's how it sounded last night. Now, this is at the end of regulation.
Kuzma with 10 seconds to go. Dribbles right. Anthony Davis has the ball. Davis dribbles. Wide open. KCP for three in the lead. He missed it. Matthews up and in on a putback. Wes Matthews grabbed the miss and laid it in. They forgot to block him out, Michael.
Yep. 3.1 seconds to go. The Knicks have a timeout. Plenty of time to draw up a play and get a good shot off.
Oh, Randall can't believe it. Matthews snaked in there and grabbed the miss by KCP. And by the way, that look KCP got for the three was fantastic.
Yeah.
But Wes Matthews saves the day for now. For now. 91-91.
And Mace, that play kept them alive.
Sure.
And then THT showed up in the overtime.
Yeah, and by the way, the Knicks, that final possession, that was a disaster. I think they wound up heaving a ball from half court, so they were terrible in that last possession. And then THT, what a shot that was. And what a game for THT. He ended up with 10 rebounds in that game.
10 assists.
10 assists in that game.
Yeah, well, one off of his career high. Tied his career high in minutes.
And my little can I introduce a little pet peeve?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. That's why this show exists, Mace, is for you and I to rant on the radio.
So I love THT. He is so much fun.
Well, you know,
watch.
You're talking to the president of the Talen Horton Tucker fan club. Yeah.
But here's the thing. He's only 20, but at this moment, a lot of the time, he does not look like he's playing under control. Do you agree with that?
Wait a minute. Do I agree with that? Are you kidding? He is more out of control than maybe any player.
Oh, so it's not just me.
In NBA history, it's great. It's when Chick was doing Kobe's rookie season.
Yep.
He used to say, because Kobe was 18 and he was just like THT. He would say, "Kobe's got the ball. Kobe dribbling underneath. Kobe, where are you going, Kobe?" You know, he would be like, you know, and that's why I feel sometimes about THT. Doesn't he seem like he is like a. You know how when a Hot Wheel careens off the track?
Yes, yes.
But that's part of kind of what makes it fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, he's always going to the rim, right? Always going to the rim.
Mace, they had a game last week where he took maybe, with the game on the line, he took maybe the worst shot I've ever seen at the end of a game. It didn't hit anything. And he somehow caught his own miss and laid it back in to save the day. And that play that Chris played, Morales played at the beginning, the one thing that I think would have been the takeaway had he not made that shot, there was only 20 seconds left and they were down one. So that took a lot of guts. If that shot misses, all New York has to do is get the rebound and the game's over.
Plus, it was a nifty sidestep three, right? He took that one sidestep and was able to sink that thing. Yeah, I
right.
know.
But, Mace, the story would have been, had he not made that shot,
why
that
is he had taking that shot?
No, that he had seven turnovers.
Yeah, right.
You know, LeBron will put up with seven turnovers because he's LeBron. But THT, you're like, well, is he worth it? And the funny thing is that the Lakers really had no choice. You know, their starting point guard, Dennis Schroeder, is out. The backup point guard, Alex Caruso, left after 7 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
THT is the third string point guard. And there were times in that game last night that Anthony Davis was initiating from the top of the key.
Yep.
Kyle Kuzma told Trudell after the game he never thought he'd see the day where he played point guard in the NBA, but there were several plays last night where he did.
Yeah, I mean, essentially they played that second half without any playmaker, or they had to, you know, they didn't have a traditional point guard to be able to make that thing go. THT wound up kind of filling that role, but everybody was initiating at different points last night. I thought it was a really, really impressive win. Anthony Davis continues to return to form. He had a really good game last night. THT was great. Wesley Matthews, as you pointed out, hit a couple of key threes. It was a really, really good win. And now the question is, can they avoid the play-in tournament? Now, I will tell you, John, quietly.
The BPI,
in my head,
the Basketball Power Index,
yes,
says 67% chance they go into the play-in tournament.
Okay. So a little voice inside my head while I was watching the game, and maybe this is heresy, John, was saying, I'm okay if we lose this because we'll wind up in the play-in tournament, and I'd rather get Utah or Phoenix than I would the Clippers.
Okay, so I completely disagree with you jumping off the Laker bandwagon.
That's not off the Lakers bandwagon. I just want to save the toughest opponent for a little later in the playoffs.
Yeah, because you're scared of the Clippers. You're the only person I know that's scared of the Clippers. But let me say this about your position. It's a completely legitimate one that a lot of people have. You're not the only one saying that. I disagree with you. I don't want them to play in the play-in tournament because Golden State very quietly has become one of the best teams in the West.
How much fun would a one-gamer against Golden State be? That'd be a blast.
Right. Be unbelievable. But you haven't stopped to think for a second that Golden State could win it. You know, and then you're in one game for your life.
You'd have to lose two games.
Right, but pull up Golden State over the past week and look at
what
they've
been doing.
Oh, no, I
know they've been tearing it up. I mean, I saw a game Saturday where Steph Curry, I think, had 48 points in 29 minutes or something like that. I mean, he's on an absolute tear right now. So, yeah, I do understand that. But you still, it would be very difficult for the Lakers. You've got to wind up losing three games, correct?
No, not necessarily.
You would have to lose the 7-8, then you'd have to lose to the 9-10,
and then,
they'd have to beat you again.
No. If you lose two games, you're out.
You lose the 7-8, then you go to a one-game play-in.
Correct. And
the winner of the 9-10.
And the loser of that game is out. The winner gets the 8. So it's really a double elimination scenario.
Okay.
But you know what was interesting is Ben Lyons and I have been texting because he's a huge Knicks fan. Ben was complaining after the game how the Lakers were lucky and how the Knicks had all their guys missing. And I said to him, you didn't even notice what the Lakers did to the Knicks last night. I don't think most people did. Mace, the reason the Lakers are going to be really good in the postseason and the reason they won that game last night, they're 18-2 this year when they hold a team under 100 points. And last night they did it in a 53-minute game.
They
did it in an overtime game and held them to 99. Think about this. The Lakers held the Knicks to 15 points in the fourth quarter and an opponent season low 35 in the second half. All right, they held them to 20 in the third and 15 in the fourth. They held them to 39% shooting from the field. And in the second half, the Knicks only shot 28%. That's the lowest shooting performance by a Laker opponent this season. So it's Frank Vogel talked about it after the game. It's not, you know, LeBron and AD get a lot of the credit when they win, and they should. It will be the reason we win a title, will be those two guys.
Sure.
But if you play defense like that, if you hold a team to 15 points. Julius Randle, everybody thinks Julius had a great game, and I love Randle. AD held him to 6 of 16 shooting in the second half. And Julius hit some tough shots. But you'll take 6 of 16 any day of the week.
Oh, sure.
And Ben saying, well, you're lucky. RJ Barrett had his worst game of the year. Really? He was 2 of 13? When we played him in New York, he was 2 of 11.
Right.
You know, at some point you have to say the Lakers know what they're doing defensively. They out-rebounded the Knicks by 11, and they had 8 more offense. Andre Drummond had 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
If you play defense and control the boards like that, you're going to be in every game. I mean, think about what I just said. They held the Knicks to 15 points in the fourth quarter, and they still needed overtime to win. That's how bad the Lakers were offensively last night. But it didn't matter because they played great defense and they got every rebound. And when they needed big shots, Wesley Matthews came up with one and Taylor Norton Tucker came up with one. If the Lakers were healthy, those two guys wouldn't even be in the game.
Right, right.
So it was as good of a team win as the Lakers have had.
It was a fun game. It was a really entertaining game. Meanwhile,
you know who gets the other thank you note, by the way? I said you had to write two.
By the way, I think you're totally posing. I don't think you write thank you notes.
I'll write you a thank you note right now.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Such a poser.
Now, you know who gets the other thank you note?
No.
It's Gavin Lux.
Gavin Lux, yeah.
It's Gavin, because that game was heading exactly the same way the games have been heading for the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
It looked like the Dodgers were going to lose again. Some guy I've never heard of hit 2 home runs off of Walker Buehler.
Yep.
And now, Gavin Lux, who has been awful.
Yeah, he's been terrible. He's been terrible.
You know, remember I asked you at the start of the season, how much rope do you give Gavin Lux?
They're giving him a fair amount of rope.
Right, and they're basically letting him hit under 200, and last night it paid off.
So Tim D'Amico emailed last night, 9:52, both these teams suck and we have no chance. Then Lux homer, Lakers get a 3 from THT in overtime, 9:53. Both these teams are winning back-to-back titles.
I think that Tim has the right idea. That's the range of emotions you go through right now as an LA sports fan. You're ready to pull your hair out, and then all of a sudden, Wesley Matthews, who seems like he hasn't played in a month, just saves the day, and then Taylor Horton Tucker bails you out, and then Gavin Lux, who has probably been the worst starter on the Dodgers since opening day. He's been awful. Hits a 3-run homer to win the game. And by the way, that thing was gone the minute it hit his back.
Oh, God, he tore that thing. And you know what? I'm trying to think. What do you say? Let's effing go as he pounded his chest.
Yeah, he did the Jack Peterson pound of the chest. And I don't know, Jorge, do you have Joe Davis's call? Davis, who's so good in these moments.
He is so good. This
always
was such a great call.
Yeah, he always knows what to say. And Joe knew the second that he hit it, that it was the biggest hit of his career. You know, it was that good. Morales had it in the open. I don't know if Jorge.
Yeah, it's a great call. It's a great call.
It was a very fun night to be in LA. Now, did you go back button? Did you attempt picture in picture? 2 different TVs? How did you consume both games at the same time?
Both games at the same time. I was able to put the Dodgers game onto the iPad and the Lakers game onto the big screen.
Well, that works.
That was the way to go. And then it really was the moment the Lakers won that game, you switched over and Kenley Jansen finished up a perfect night. By the way, are we getting more confidence? And Kenley Jansen looked great last night. 2 strikeouts and a pop up.
Well, and who got the win?
It was Garrett Clevenger who pitched a clean eighth inning.
You know, and I'm not just pinning this on Garrett, but the bullpen for once didn't pour gas on a fire.
No, Garrett Clevenger threw a clean innings, 2 strikeouts, and then Kenley Jansen, the ninth, 2 strikeouts and a pop-up. He looked great.
Jorge found the Lux home run. And keep in mind, Joe Davis is calling this live.
Sure.
Right? It's happening as he's describing it as it happens. Here's the call.
The 1-0. Lux kills the ball. Way back there. His biggest big league swing. A go-ahead 3-run home run.
That is just a pitch.
Knew it as soon as it happened and had the presence of mind to say biggest hit in his Dodgers career.
Yeah, biggest big league swing. Took it a step further.
It was great.
And so that was a very fun night to be an LA sports fan. And that guy who emailed you, Tim, kind of explained why. You went from, I can't believe the Lakers are losing again. I can't believe the Dodgers are losing again. We just won the championship, and now these teams both seem to be spiraling, and then boom. They both pull victory from the jaws of defeat. And I think the Lakers defensively scared the hell out of the rest of the league last night. If they play defense like that, and they didn't even have LeBron. LeBron's
tonight
coming back tonight.
Tonight is reportedly coming back, for the banner night.
Now, we don't know about AD. AD, after the game, said that his groin was really bugging him. So the smart thing to do, I think you can beat Houston without AD.
Yeah.
So I think the smart thing to do would probably be, I mean, he'll make the call on it, but rest him tonight and then have him for this weekend in case you need him.
Yeah. Okay, 877-710-ESPN. There are a bunch of ways to reach the show today, and we want to hear from you. 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. You can IG me at Venice Mace, or you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. John, some of the details of the showdown, the golf showdown, have been determined now. Have you heard this?
Details of our golf showdown?
Yes.
No, when did this happen?
Oh, it happened today. I will tell you next. Mason, okay. Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. What is going on? Day after a big Lakers win and a big Dodgers win. Great night to be an LA sports fan. All happening at exactly the same time. And speaking of great sports moments, John.
Yeah.
I've got some details on our Mason versus Ireland golf event.
Okay,
it has officially been scheduled. And now there's like all kinds of sponsors and all this kind of stuff
going on.
So it is going to be, and this is really good for me, Friday, September the 10th.
Okay.
You
know what?
What?
I may not be here.
No!
Yeah, we scheduled, we rented a house in Idaho that week. I got to check with Lisa, but I don't think I'm going to be here. You win.
I win! Forfeit! No, we'll find out a way to do it. That's a day that apparently we're doing a tournament already at Black Gold. And it has
Lisa
been
right
changed.
Now and find out when the trip is.
It has been changed to a 9-hole matchup instead of an 18-hole matchup. I don't know. Morales just sent me this.
I don't think I can do it on that day anyway, so we can.
By the way, I'm all for nine holes to start, I think is pretty.
So then I would only have to give you 26 strokes.
26
right?
strokes, yeah. 26 okay. strokes over 9 holes, and I will kick your ass. And by the way, this is a really big deal. Tomorrow I've got my very first lesson. It's with arguably the best swing coach there is.
No. Mm-hmm. I have an update for you.
Okay, good.
I think, what's this guy's name?
Derek Allen.
Okay, I think you need to tell Derek that you'll maybe work with him down the road, because I have found the perfect Steve Mason swing coach.
Really?
Yes, his name, are you following me here, Jorge?
Yeah, I'm following
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
His name is Manolo. Now, like you, Manolo does everything on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Okay, and like you.
Sounds like my kind of
right?
guy.
And like you, Manolo does not have any apprehension to cussing.
Oh, okay. Good.
And so here, Mace, is basically a teaser of what it would be like to work with Manolo. He works with people that follow him. He calls them Manolo maniacs. He calls them the maniacs. So I think you should become a maniac. Tell me if this sounds like the type of coach that would work for you. Hit
okay.
it, Jorge.
Manis Maniacs, Manolo here. Spring break is in the past. Class is now in session again. Now, I know it is fun to waggle that and to smack that and that's it, because that's what I'm teaching you. But let me explain it to you now for real why it is so important, the waggle. All the waggle is mine right here is the previewation of the impaction at the golfing ball. And all it is the style of shot you wanting to hit. So if you want to rip one nasty perro down there 350 type things, you need to waggle nasty perro 350 type things. But what if you're down near
now
the hole?
Carefully to
you
this.
Still need to waggle. You still need to put a sexual heely, like, you know, Marvin Jaye. You need to put it in there like that and waggle in it. A little more sexy, not so crazy. Put it there, waggle there, a little more sexy, a little more gentle, and that is what the waggle is for you. And that's it.
And that's you gotta waggle that blank.
Okay,
Mace.
Now let me ask you a question, because I watched this little video and he's waggling the club before he strikes the ball.
You gotta waggle stuff.
Do you waggle?
Yeah, of course.
Does everybody waggle?
Yeah, Travis waggles. I waggle. You gotta waggle, man.
Okay, so
you
gotta
go in
waggle.
There like Marvin Jaye.
Marvin
you gotta get a little sexy waggle on there like Marvin Gaye.
The pre-uation.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now tomorrow is my first lesson, and Morales is picking me up super early, really early by my standards, at like 7:30, and we're going to the golf lesson, and then he's going to videotape it, so you'll be able to see, or shoot video for social, so you'll be able to see exactly what that lesson looked like, John. And tomorrow you will be able to grade my appearance and the very beginning.
Well, I've seen you swing a golf club. Derek has a lot of work to do. Let's just put it that way.
Derek has worked with greats like Morgan Freeman, so he's good enough for me.
Okay.
See, like, you have 26 strokes on 9 holes is probably easier than 53.
Yeah, Mason, you got a big hiss. I think we got to go back to the original bet. I don't think I can play on September 10th anyway, so we should work out the details of when I'm actually here, and I think we should go back to the 18-hole match.
No, let's go just 9. Let's go just,
why?
Let's cut me a little slack. Let's go just 9.
I'm giving you 53
strokes. Because I will hack my way through 18. We don't want it to be a hackathon.
Yeah, we do. That's what makes it funny.
Plus, I've got to build up some endurance.
All right, well, we'll work it out.
Okay.
And by the way, when you schedule things, you guys should probably check with me first.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't know. I was just given this date. I don't know.
It's a first to me, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. And that's it.
And that's it.
And that's it. And that's it. By the way, we mentioned Gavin Lux. He was. I don't know if you noticed this last night, John, but he was wearing the tightest pants of all time.
Really?
Yeah, here's what Gavin said about that after the game.
I got to ask you this one. Justin Turner's already making fun of you with the tight pants. what's kind of going on there?
They're actually Walker's pants. Whenever Walker is out there rocking the tight pants, I'll rock them with them. But they might be here to stay now. We'll see. We'll see.
Oh, so it's superstition.
Tight pants.
See, now that he hit a home run, he might have to stick with the tight pants.
I hate tight pants.
Remember that cowboy up Red Sox? Somebody did a shot before a game, and they won big. And then
they won big. They were down 0-3 to the Yankees.
Right.
I think it was Jason Veritek who said, let's all do a shot before the game. They came all the way back and won the series.
I hate to tell you this, Gavin Lux. You just married yourself to tight pants.
Tight
bro.
Pants.
So the tight pants have been around for a little while. That was a Kike Hernandez thing originally, and he kept making it tighter and tighter, his pants. And then Walker Buehler jumped on the tight pants, and now his pants are super tight. So, and now Gavin's jumping on, so the tight pants is a thing.
Justin Turner tweeted this about the real Gavin Lux, said he's doing his best, quit playing games with my heart, Backstreet Boys, in his tight pants.
So that's what he thinks of the Backstreet Boys when Gavin Lux wears those pants?
Yes, he thinks of the Backstreet Boys
now,
when he talks about Gavin's tight pants.
Honest answer. Ready?
Yeah.
Promise? Full honesty here?
Full honesty.
Got any Backstreet Boys in your music library?
He's stuttering. He's not.
No,
he's
no,
not.
I do. Let me tell you up front.
I have their biggest hit.
Let me tell you up front. I got multiple Backstreet Boys tracks.
Okay, if you tell me the right title, I know it inside out.
I got multiple NSYNC tracks. I can tell you the names of every guy in NSYNC.
Wow, that's
do it.
Weird.
Do
all
it.
Right, it's JT, Justin Timberlake, and there's JC Chazé. There's Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yep.
Joey Fatone and Lance Bass.
Wow, good call.
NSYNC. Now do NSYNC.
No, that is NSYNC.
That is
NSYNC. I thought that was Backstreet.
No, that's NSYNC.
Oh yeah. JT. Oh my bad.
Backstreet Boys is the one Nick Lachey. No, Nick Lachey was in 98 Degrees.
98
right?
Degrees. I think Backstreet Boys is the one with Donnie Wahlberg, isn't it?
No. Donnie Wahlberg was a new kid in the
new
block.
New kid on the block.
I can probably do them too. All right.
That's
so
crazy.
So it was Donnie. It was Jordan Knight. It was Jordan's little brother. I think his name was Joey.
Yep.
And then who were the? Did Donnie have a brother in there too? I don't think so. Oh, here's Michael.
Hey!
Now do the Jackson 5.
Okay. Michael, if I miss this, I'll be upset with myself. Of course, there was Michael.
Right.
Yep.
Randy.
Yep.
Tito.
Yep.
Marlon.
Yep.
And Jackie.
Right.
Boom. And Zeppo.
No Zeppo.
I thought there was a Zeppo in the
Zeppo's
Jackson
5. Well, you're thinking of white guys. Those are the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You missed one. You missed one, Ireland.
No, there's only – well, Michael, you said 5.
Yeah, well, name them again because you missed one.
All right, Michael 1.
Yeah.
Tito 2.
Yeah.
Jackie 3.
Yeah.
Marlon 4.
4.
And didn't I give you 5?
What? No.
Jackie?
Jackie.
Jermaine.
Jermaine.
Oh, yeah.
There you
Jermaine,
go.
Jermaine actually had some solo.
Oh, he split off and did solo stuff and was really good. Yeah.
Good.
John, I do own Backstreet Boys in my library.
Good. Which songs?
I own the one we just played. Don't run away with my heart or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
And I own, let's see, there's one more. Backstreet
Boys.
Which
should come right up if you just type it into a search.
Exactly.
See, Mace, I think that all those boy bands are highly underrated.
I want it that way.
Yeah, that was like their biggest hit.
That was their biggest hit.
Michael,
I own
that.
Do you do?
All you do is listen to EDM. There aren't any lyrics in the music you listen to.
Backstreet Boys.
But I'm with you, Arlen. I like the boy bands.
Yeah. I do, too. I like the boy. By the way, have you seen the crazy boy bands that come from Korea?
Yeah.
Hip-hop bands?
Yeah.
They've got like 11 people in them. It's unbelievable. And somehow they all get their steps in. They all get a chance at the vocals. It's amazing. What's the name of the big K-pop thing that's happening right now?
I don't know.
BTS, right. They're crazy to watch, Michael.
Yeah.
They hypnotize you.
Yeah.
They are great. I love the boy bands.
Yeah, Belle, Biv, DeVoe, I love those guys. Man, they were good.
Boys to Men, very good, Michael.
Boys to Men, very good. Still, actually, they sang the national anthem the night of the Kobe Memorial game.
Yeah.
Sang it beautifully.
What band is Johnny Gillen? Was he in Boys to Men? He plays golf at Mountain
I Day. Think he's Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah,
isn't
he? Well, he's Belle
but
Biv
I
DeVoe.
Think maybe both. I think Belle Biv DeVoe was a spinoff of Boys to Men.
No.
Okay, if we
Bobby
made
Brown,
our own.
Bobby Brown was in Belle Biv DeVoe, right?
No, if, Bobby Brown was, no, a new was edition.
In, yeah, that's right. New edition.
Okay, so if we all formed a boy band, so it's Michael Thompson, mm-hmm. John Ireland, Greg Bergman, Jorge, and then me on lead vocals.
Right.
Yeah, you would not be on lead vocals. We've heard you sing.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He could do it. He's better
tell
than us.
What would be the name of our boy band? What would be the name? Of, somebody's going to
oh, I got
something
it.
Good.
Mixology.
Mixology?
Yeah. Okay, think about it. You got a black, Hispanic, you got a gay, you got a straight, and another straight.
Oh, man. I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, mixology.
We do, wait a minute. We
got
do
a Jew.
Cover almost every imaginable group. We got a Jew, we got a gay, we got an Irish guy, we got
Mexican.
A black guy, we got a Mexican guy.
Oh, we could call it mixed up.
Yeah.
Mixed up.
Mixed up.
I Melting like pot. That. Well, Melting if you got pot. A suggestion, 877-710-ESPN, other than mixology, which is pretty good.
Thank you.
Pretty good. You can also tweet us at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. Coming up next for you, John, what do Liam and Sophia have in common?
Liam and Sophia.
I will explain it to you next. Mace in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Hey, what's going on? It is a big Wednesday. It's the day that the NFL schedules come out, and we've got the Rams schedule.
Yeah, what do you think? They open on Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football against the Bears at SoFi Stadium. Then they go Bengals at the Browns, Lions at the Raiders. Rams at the Raiders in Vegas. Home to the Packers at Tampa. Home to the Niners at Steelers. That's an interesting lineup.
So give me the road games. You've got the whole schedule?
I do.
All right, so one of the road – well, the obviously they have Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, and you say the Raiders are one.
Raiders are one.
Hey, so what's up, Hong?
Yeah, so that's four. What are the other road games?
The other road games I've got here are obviously the Seahawks. Obviously, the Arizona. Obviously,
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
And you said the Raiders.
And the Vikings.
So they play the Vikings. So there should be three more. Do you not have the whole schedule in front of you?
I don't. I've got partial schedule. I don't know. If, has
it's
the
all
whole
a
thing
leak.
Come out yet?
No. It's a these are this is all leaks. It doesn't come out until about 5 o'clock our time.
This is all this. So this is the leaked schedule?
No. He's not jumping off the mat. But if they do play the Raiders in Vegas, I'd love to go to that game.
Yeah.
Go to the Roomba.
Yeah, that would be great.
That'd be fun.
Okay. Question. What do Liam and Sophia have in common?
Now, Sophia, is the name of one of your dogs? Is that having to do with that?
My dog's name is Sophie, but you're on the right track.
Well,
definitely one of my dogs is Sophie.
My niece is Sophie, and isn't Sophie's full name Sophia?
No, her given name is Sophie. I did not name her Sophia.
Liam and Sophia.
Yeah, what do they have in common?
I don't know. I don't know who they are.
They are the two most popular baby names of 2020.
Hmm.
So here's how it goes. Tell me if you get the thumbs up on these games, on these names. Here's the girls' names. Sophia's number one, then Olivia, then Riley.
That's Greg's daughter's name.
Then Emma, Ava, Isabella, Aria, which I guess is named after
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
I think Sedano has an Aria. I think one of his daughters is an Aria. Is that right, Greg? Okay.
Aaliyah, Amelia, and Mia. Those are the top 10 for girls.
Apparently, it's important to have the name end in A.
It apparently is. Here are the guys' names. Liam, Noah, Jackson, I like that name a lot, Aiden, Elijah, Grayson, Lucas, Oliver, Caden, and Mateo. I think, Mario Ruiz's son is named Mateo. By the way, number 12
so is,
on the list.
Beto has a Mateo.
Oh, yeah. Number 12 on the list, Mason as a first name.
Just put that in there.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I did
name,
not add. I didn't
if
add.
You had a, well, everyone knows if you had a kid, you'd name him Mason Mason.
Mason Mason. Yeah, Mason Squared is a great name. I'd probably have to name him Steve J. Mashonsky IV.
The fourth? Why? You're going to do that?
Because my dad and my grandfather were both named that name.
Did
you ever think about naming your son after you?
Well, he kind of is. So his
my
son's full name is Jackson Edward Ireland. So my dad, when he grew up in Ireland, his name was John, but everybody called him Jackie. And so it was kind of a tip of the hat to my dad to name Jackson after him. But everybody calls my son Jack. And then Edward is Lisa's grandfather. So that's where we came up with that name.
Got it. So those are the most popular baby names of the year. I don't like the names that sound like they could be dog names.
Which one of those fits that description?
I would say Sophia is one that could be a dog name. Jackson is one. I actually know somebody with a dog named Jackson. Those are kind of the fan. But, like, I don't think Jack is number 30. John, not on the list.
Yeah, John and Steve are probably not there.
Steve is never coming back. That name is never coming back. That's why I really don't even like being called Steve. I'd rather be called Mason or Mace.
Where's Michael the way I spell it?
Michael the way you spell it? Not there.
What?
Okay, so
not
Mace,
there at all.
Here's a weird story. There is a guy that plays for the Warriors, and he gets a lot of minutes now because he's been playing good, named Michael Mulder.
And
he spells his name M-Y-C-H-A-L. And when they asked him, what's with the spelling of your name, he said that his dad grew up a gigantic Lakers fan. He liked the way Michael Thompson spelled his name, so he spelled his son's name M-Y-C-H-A-L.
Wow.
Michael, cool. That's like the ultimate compliment.
Well, that's the second best compliment I ever heard. The best
what's
one
the
I,
first?
Michael Jordan wanted to spell his name the way I spelled it when he was at Carolina, but his mother wouldn't let him.
Is that right?
He told that to my brother Andy, who's a good, very good friend of Michael. They spent a lot of time together putting together a documentary, and Michael told him, says, you know what? I saw your brother's name spelled that way, and I asked my mother if I could spell it that way, too, and she wouldn't let me.
Wow.
How about that? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it could have been the name of arguably the greatest player in history.
Well, yeah. Me and him could have something in common.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You know?
I think I don't like the names that sort of doom kids to terrible lives.
Gertrude and Marge.
Where's Helga?
Aunt Esther, Michael.
Olga. Where are the Olgas and
where's
stuff?
Where are
Michael,
the Olgas?
Where's Aunt Esther?
Yeah, exactly. Esther. Now, Max,
Esther.
Kellum is the one of the name is Esther.
Yeah, I had an aunt Olive, Aunt Kay, Aunt Anna. You know here's what's really sad. Can I tell you a sad story? So one half of the family completely gone. one half of the family. The Mashonsky side of the family, we have no relationship at all since my my dad died.
Okay.
Which is terrible. We have relationships with the Santa Cruz family, but no one has spoken to the Mashonsky family in over 2 years.
Why?
Because I guess my dad was the connection between them, and I guess they never really liked us that much. Oh. I think that's what it was. It's weird to all of a sudden lose half your family, but we absolutely did. Michael, what do you think? 9 holes or 18 holes?
We got to play 18, don't we, Mike?
Well, I guess if you – Mesa's going to be exhausted by the 12th hole. So maybe he'll be good for 9.
You know? Yeah, I think 9 is the right answer.
Because
well,
that'd
Michael,
be
– I was going to give him 53 strokes.
Right.
I think if we cut that in half and I give him 26, that's too many for 9 holes. Should I renegotiate
because
the strokes?
Now you're talking about what? This, he pars 36.
Yeah,
right? So now you're talking about plus 50 is 56 plus what? Another – you're talking about 60?
Yeah.
Something like 62? Let's see. Par is 36.
And let's say I shoot between 40 and 45. Let's say I play well and shoot 40.
Yeah.
Then he would have to shoot 65 to beat me.
Yeah.
That's easier. See, and by the way, it takes half of those long carries out.
But when let's say he doesn't get over the long carry, does he have to, like, is there a drop area where he still has to hit it over the carry?
Well, you know, that new rule, you can just go put it where it went out. But I think he's going to hook him straight out of bounds.
No way. I am going to be so good at this. I'm going to be so dedicated to this. And my goal is that when this is all over, I'll be able to go out and play golf.
Okay, hey,
like
this just
everybody
in,
else.
This just in from Lisa.
Yeah.
I'm back from Idaho on September 6th.
So nice!
You're on for the 10th.
On for the 10th. There you go.
Now, you guys got to decide 9 or 18, huh?
Yeah, but see, I'm arguing for 18 because it gives me a better chance.
Right.
I'm arguing
but
for 9.
But let me talk to Morales about it because I don't know why he wants to do 9. He may have a reason.
Well, if you're going to do 9, you got to drop it down to maybe 20 strokes.
Yeah, I think that'd be
No, 26. Isn't it? Why wouldn't it be half?
Because it tilts towards me the more holes that we play.
Yeah, and by the second 9, Mace, fatigue won't wear in. I said, will after 18.
And the other thing is, Mace, that's how the handicap system works. The more you go on, the worse you are, the more strokes you get. I'm not giving you as many strokes this way. We'll get Joe Riley, the pro at Black Gold, to give us a good number. We'll let him.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. All right, coming up next, the Hall of Fame class for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been announced. We'll get into that a little bit. Lakers win last night. They're trying everything they can to avoid the play-in tournament. Got a game coming up tonight against the Rockets. The banner will officially be unveiled at Staples Center for tonight's game. LeBron is expected to play.
Oh, I got
Lakers,
bad. I got bad
Dodgers
news here.
Once again at home against Seattle.
According to Corey... Thank you for listening, Corey. The Rams do not play the Raiders this year. Your leak is inaccurate.
Okay, inaccurate leak.
They are on the schedule for 2022 at SoFi.
Okay, got it. So the leak was inaccurate. There you go. Schedule comes out at 5 o'clock. Don't listen to anything beforehand.
Dry up your leak.
Yeah, check the leak. All right, so you know my good friend Jacob Imrani is a sponsor of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. He is he's the only guy that does that. Only guy in this area that does that. He's the attorney for the Los Angeles Lakers. Meanwhile, he's now become the official sponsor of the LAFC, which means anybody in the 3252 that has got any kind of accident, injury, you want Jacob Imrani. This is a brand new partnership, and it's just beginning. Jacob Imrani, the official law firm of LAFC. So Jacob is now one step closer to sports domination. He's got the Lakers, and he's got LAFC, and man, he knows how to pick a team to partner with. Jacob heard the response of fans who comment to him all the time about the Lakers sponsorship, and Jacob is now thrilled with LAFC. As you know, Jacob has been helping people for years and years, over 2 decades in this town, 25 years in this town. He's an expert in every type of injury situation, work, car, motorcycle, whatever it happens to be. Call Jacob, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember the catchy jingle.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani, call Jacob.
Can't wait to go see an LAFC game with Jacob. Root on the black and gold. Call Jacob.com. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah. What's up? That's Backstreet Boys. And so at some point, I know that part comes in. So the question is, if me, Ireland, Michael Thompson, Greg Bergman, and Jorge Briones were to form a boy band, what should we call it? Here are some suggestions on Twitter. The Melting Pot.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Melting Pot sounds like a fondue restaurant.
Yeah, it might sound too like Polka Banderish or something. Yeah.
The Loose Can... Oh, never mind.
I like that one.
The L.A. Tramps.
The Tramps.
Yeah. 1, 2, Tree, Foe.
I like that, too.
Oh, that's a good one for you.
Yeah.
The Please Don'ts.
The Please Don'ts.
Mason and the Masonettes. Oh, I like that one the best.
I bet you would.
Mason and the Masonettes. Sign me up for that. Ooh. That is the official name. Now all we need is Jimmy Jam, our friend Jimmy Jam, who produced Rhythm Nation and all those great albums. We need Jimmy Jam to produce the single, and he can auto-tune the hell out of it.
And we need Lisa Estrada to be our dance choreographer.
Oh, that's right. Lisa Estrada.
But Lisa doesn't do – Michael, Lisa's moved up in the world.
I know, but she can still do it, though. She used to do it with the Laker girls. She can still help us out.
I think Paula Abdul still does choreography.
Were you ever around when Paula Abdul was a Laker girl?
No, I was at UCLA. Michael was playing then.
I was playing, but I didn't know that was Paula Abdul. She was just another Laker girl to me.
Greg, you've got a good name for a boy band?
I got a text, and it's the Stuck in the Moments.
Oh, no!
How about this one? We could make Bergman the lead singer, and we could call it the Jews Cruise.
Oh, God.
What?
That's fine. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
The Jews Cruise.
The Jews Cruise.
By the way, this song, Michael, do you ever have a song just stuck in your head?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that annoying?
This song is the biggest earworm I have. And so what the guys do around here, Jorge and Bergman and whoever, they take every opportunity to play U2 Stuck in a Moment because they know it will get stuck in my head for the day.
Yeah.
Stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. There was something. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We did this when they first came in. Have either of you guys seen Who Gets In?
No.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay,
I saw the list of the nominees, but I haven't seen who got in.
So I'm going to go. These are the nominees. I want you to guess who went in, okay?
Okay.
Well, who deserves to go in?
Yeah. Well, no, I have the answers. Oh. I have the answers. I know who's going in. So it's Mary J. Blige, Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill, Devo, Foo Fighters, The Go-Go's, Iron Maiden, Jay-Z, Chaka Khan, Carole King, LL Cool J, Rage Against the Machine, Todd Rundgren, and Tina Turner. Who do you think?
Wait a minute. Tina Turner's already in.
Tina Turner is not in.
She's not in? Whoa.
No, that's wrong.
That's crazy.
She went in as Ike and Tina Turner.
Yeah.
But she didn't go in as
a solo. So now she's going in as a – she would go in as a solo act.
Yeah.
All right. Well, of all those names you mentioned, Jay-Z is an absolute lock.
Jay-Z is definitely in. He's in this class.
Iron Maiden should be a lock.
Well, no. The other name, Mace, that should be a lock off that list that you read, and it's not even close, is Carole King. I'm surprised she's not in already.
Carole King, who is responsible for this, will go back a few years, but Carole King is responsible for the first great female solo album of all time. It was called Tapestry, and it came out in, I don't know, 73, 74, something like that.
Who was she singing about when she sang You're So Vain?
You don't know?
No.
That's Carly Simon. I think, but Michael, I know who Carly Simon was singing about. You never heard this?
No. She's never officially revealed it. But
it's Warren Beatty.
Really?
Everybody thinks it's Warren Beatty. Yeah, but that was Carole King.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was Carly Simon.
Carly Simon,
yeah. This song singing in the background is Carole King.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, who else?
I'm trying to figure out. Well, Tina Turner, if she wasn't in before, she has to be in now.
Oh, she is in as a solo act, yes. Tina Turner, who had a great solo career. She's like 90 or something now.
No, she's in her 80s, but she's living in Italy now, I believe.
Oh, is she? She's done touring. I'll tell you, I saw her in concert once. She is just a wild woman.
I personally, Mace, but I don't know if he got in. I personally would put LL Cool J in.
Yeah, he's got to go in.
LL Cool J got overlooked again. Overlooked again. By the way, Tina Turner, 81 going on 90.
Yes. Yeah. 81 is the 90 yet, Mace. Come on.
80, is 81 the new 90?
It is not 90 yet. She's 9 years away from it.
I'll tell you the rest.
Is Iron Maiden, they get in?
No, they did not. Oh. It wasn't a good day for heavy metal. Man. The other guys that got in, so it's Jay-Z, Tina Turner, Carole King, The Go-Go's got in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes
well-deserved.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters got in.
Yep, Dave Grohl.
Well-deserved. And Todd Rundgren got in. I'm not a Todd Rundgren guy. In fact, I'll be on. Maybe I'm stupid here. I can't think of a Todd Rundgren song. Can you?
Yeah, I can think of it. I know the tune. I just can't think of the name, but I know the tune.
Do we know any Todd Rundgren songs?
I'm sure he has hit songs.
Oh yeah, he's got a bunch of.
Yeah. Anyways, he's part of that class too, so he also got in.
But the, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is.
You've been there, right?
I've never
been
there. It's great. But there's a lot of controversy about it because, for example, these artists have to pay now to go back there and get themselves inducted.
What?
Yeah, it's. I heard Steve Miller go on a rant once that would. Oh, you know what Todd Rundgren's saying? He's saying, "Hello, it's me." You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think he has enough songs to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't either. Maybe there's some big Todd Rundgren fans who's like all in on it, but I it doesn't feel like he should be in there over like LL Cool J.
And apparently, and like another one of Steve Miller's big complaints was that if you get elected, your band doesn't go with you.
So wait a minute, you've got to pay to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you got to pay your own way, and it turns.
Oh, you mean pay your own travel expenses?
Pay for everything. Pay for travel, hotel, whatever, buy tickets to the event. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah, that's what Steve Miller was saying.
By the way, does this Music Hall of Fame put in jazz artists?
No, I think there must be a...
Really?
I'm guessing Miles Davis is in the Rock and Roll
Hall
of Fame.
If you got rock and roll, you got hip-hop, R&B. What about R&B artists? Like Smokey the Miracles, people like that.
Smokey Robinson is in the Hall of Fame, yes.
Okay, well, that's...
Miles Davis is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So there is jazz. There's also jazz.
They need to change the name then. Just call it the Music Hall of Fame.
Well, there's kind of everything. The Go-Go's really aren't rock and roll. Right. Carole King wasn't rock and roll. Right. It's basically the Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Music Hall of Fame. I should just name it that.
I'm reading from a 2016 article. Steve Miller was inducted in 2015. And he said in his speech, "I encourage you to keep expanding your vision to be more inclusive of women." He also encouraged them to do more to support music education in schools. He went backstage and aired more grievances in the press room.
Wow.
When asked to elaborate, he revealed the whole induction process is unpleasant. They need to respect the artists they say they're honoring, which they don't. When they told me I was inducted, they said, "You have two tickets, one for your wife, one for yourself. Want another one? It's $10,000. Sorry, that's the way it goes. I said, "What about my band? What about their wives?" They said, "Tough." At one point, a Rock Hall publicist attempted to interrupt Miller and tell him to wrap it up. And he said, "You go sit down over there and learn something." He goes, "This is how close the whole show came to not happening because of the way the artists are being treated." And he held two fingers like really close together.
That's crazy. So it's a scam. That's a little bit like, and I, you know, I'll tell this story. You think it's like a big ego play, but it's real. My grandfather, while he was alive, knew I was working out in Hollywood or L.A., and he said to me, and he had no sense for really, you know, how big a deal I was or how small a deal I was. He doesn't realize I'm like D-list. He said, "When you get your star in Hollywood, I will be there." Now, he's passed away, but it always has made me want to get a star just for my grandfather. Now, Ireland, you say... to get a star, you just have to buy it.
Right. You could get one today.
I could get one today.
Yeah, I think it's $25,000.
So if I start a Kickstarter campaign.
You could just pay the $25,000.
A GoFundMe. Yeah. I don't have that kind of money.
What are you talking about? You have more money than anyone here. If you really want to do it.
Would that gratify you, Mace, giving it to yourself?
It would gratify me because of my grandfather.
Oh,
that's the main reason I would want it is for my grandfather.
But it wasn't like you earned it.
No, well, Michael, there are people less famous than Mason that have stars on the Walk of Fame.
Like who?
There's a lot of people.
Oh, there's tons of people who you've never even heard of, Michael.
But that's because they work behind the scenes, right?
I'm working behind the scenes.
No, you're up front and center, man. Everybody knows your voice and your face.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I for my grandfather, I would like to do it.
Well, why'd
so
you do it?
If you want, if you're the star of Hollywood Walk of Fame, who is it? Like Johnny Grant or somebody like that runs that show?
I think is Johnny Grant still with us?
No, he died.
We keep doing this. We keep proclaiming people dead, and then they turn out to be alive. Hail fellow well met Johnny Grant. I'm assuming he's gone.
Yeah, but he for a long time
just
he was
go
the guy.
With, he's gone. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is Fast Track. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.